The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Flair, shallow center, base hit. Marte's being set. Here's the throw from Perkins. It is going to be in time! Fly ball to deep right. It is back. Soto back. Out of here! And a fly ball to right. This is hit well. Back is Reynolds. Track, gone! Sal Frelick goes big fly for the ninth time this year, and the Brewers lead it 1-0.
Kicks into the windup. Skeens 3-2.
Drilled deep, right center field. Watch this baby, way up and out. Goodbye. Oh, what a Bryce bomb that was.
Everybody in Milwaukee can get some burgers from George Webb if you guys pull off
God,
this
week. Yeah, that's right. All right, well, I will. I think I'm going to keep that to myself.
Majewski kicks, delivers, and a liner down the right field line. It's going to roll into the corner. Ortiz is home. Frelick around third. He will score. A two-run single from Wild Bill. And a swing and a miss. He struck him out. Would you like fries with that? 12 in a row for the crew. 12-5, your final. The Brewers with their second longest winning streak in the regular season in franchise history.
No, it was fun, but seriously, I wanted to win those burgers bad, for sure.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Stomp your feet, clap your hands. You're part of the team sitting in the stands. Come see what's brewing. Come see what the good times are. Come see what the Brewers are doing.
Might be about time to learn the clap to this.
Oh, I have no rhythm.
Oh, that's shocking.
Yeah, right, yeah. Jeez. Quite an admission right off the top.
Yeah, I guess I should have known that. It's like, you know, you got to get into it a little
okay.
bit.
Okay, yeah, someday I'll try. Let me have a few cocktails first.
Come catch the fever.
There you go, you're getting it. All right, I feel good about that.
Good.
By the end of the show, I feel confident that Alex Stroff, who's hanging out with me this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, will have figured out the clap routine for Come See What's Brewing, the song that we're playing right now on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, as we continue to celebrate what the Brew Crew is doing this summer. Burgers for all. And guys, this is taking on a life of its own. I'm seeing national media yesterday. I'm seeing Pat McAfee watching the end of the Brewers game live. He's streaming it. He's posting it. He is cheering for the Brewers as they celebrate 12 wins in a row and, of course, get free burgers from the city, courtesy of our friends over at George Webb. What a time to be alive. Let me ask you this, Alex Stroff. Mr. I went over to George Webb several weeks ago, sat out there with a folding chair, was waiting for burgers from the Brewers.
Indeed.
Yesterday, when it closed to within one run.
I was a little nervous, yes.
What was your confidence level, though, that this team, which has proven to us over and over and over again that they defy logic, what was your confidence level that they would ultimately pull out the victory and burgers would be had by all?
I was still confident because I think that was, what, the sixth inning when they pulled within one, top of the sixth? And that's how that's when you knew, yeah, look at it. SportsCenter's got George Webb on their TV right now. You're not joking. But I know what this bullpen is capable of. And when you have Obner Uribe and Trevor McGill, if necessary, obviously he ultimately wasn't needed yesterday, you know those guys can close out anybody. And I think they've proven that time and time again now with their, 76th or 77th win of the year. So I was still confident. And the Pirates kind of stink, so it helped that they were playing them.
I have said this for several weeks now, and I don't know what the level of buy-in is, but I think that there is something to this, okay? It is hard, Alex Stroff, to create pressure during the regular season. It's a long season, 162. If you don't get them today, you get back out there tomorrow, right? There's that whole attitude of, well, we lost, but we got another opportunity. We got another crack at it tomorrow. And so I think like there's a malaise. Yes, games are important. And yes, you want to win series and all of those other things. But there is sort of a malaise that starts to creep in throughout the regular season. The George Webb phenomenon, the George Webb promise, all of those things.
The phenomenon.
I believe it created pressure. I believe in a long season when it is hard to manufacture pressure. Wanting to win 12 burgers for the city of Milwaukee, for the state of Wisconsin, however far and wide people may travel to get those burgers, Alex Strofe, I think that the players were like a little tight the first time that opportunity presented itself. I think they were like, oh God, yeah, we really want to get this done, and fell short, right? You know, you were there. You were accused of being a jinx.
I was, yeah. I was yesterday, too, when I had lunch at George Webb. But, yeah, I mean, I think, number one, it helped, obviously, that you're in front of your home crowd, which hopefully the way they're playing, that's going to be the case a lot of the postseason when there is real pressure and you don't need to manufacture it. But I think for them to experience it 3 weeks plus ago when they have an 11-game winning streak and they're on the road, they're in Seattle on a West Coast road trip after sweeping the season series with the Dodgers, I think they're like, okay, well, we've won 11 in a row. The home fans aren't random. Nobody's yelling, burgers, from behind home plate. They come home. They're winning. They're hot. And we talked about this off the air, and we'll continue to talk about it for the next 2 hours. It defies logic what this team has been capable of the last 3.5 months. But, yeah, it manufactured pressure. We heard it in the open when Sal Frelick, after win 11, is being asked about the burgers. And he says, well, I'm going to keep that to myself. And then after yesterday's game, everybody's saying, well, I really wanted to win those burgers.
We really wanted to do it.
So for a team that, frankly, doesn't have a ton left to prove, they can hang with anybody. They can beat anybody. They've proven that all season long. I think it's important to say, hey, man, this isn't a fluke. We can continue to win and continue to win and continue to win. And now they got to shoot for 24 in a row so we can do this whole thing over again.
Okay, sure. That sounds great. So we always talk about steps to success. We talk about it like you don't expect a team to go from losing their division in football to all of a sudden winning the Super Bowl, right? The steps are often, well, first win your division, then win a playoff game, then get to the NFC/AFC championship game. Like that's how typically we expect it to go. Are there exceptions? Of course there are. But I also think that from a pressure standpoint, they faced it a few weeks ago, this idea. And again, I'm not saying it's the most pressure in the world. I'm not saying it's comparable to an NLDS, NLCS World Series trip. But the idea of like, there's something on the line here, okay? And you get a little tight. And I think that a few weeks ago when you had the George Webb thing, when you and our full-time Will are sitting outside George Webb's waiting for the win to happen and it didn't, I think that was the step they needed to get it done yesterday. Because now it's like, oh, we've been here before.
Yeah.
This is familiar. We've done this. Now you win. And again, is it the end all be all? No. But at the end of the year, will we, if they fall short in the playoffs and don't make a long run, we'll be real, but hey, at least we got those burgers. No, there will be massive disappointment. But my point is, these are the steps to success. You face the same situation over again. You mentioned difference because you're on the road versus being in front of the home crowd, all of that, which is a variable. But this time, you pass the test. And that has got to take the confidence level, which was already high with this young Brewers team, even up a notch, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I guess as I'm listening to you say this, because I agree with you wholeheartedly, that this is some level of pressure. Again, it's not like you're in the NLCS. It's not like there's a trip to the World Series on the line. But it is, hey, we want to reward our fans who have been with us. There was 40,000-plus people at AmFam Field yesterday for a Wednesday afternoon game in the middle of August. I'm sure a lot of those people had other things they could be doing, working maybe. But 40,000-plus at AmFam Field yesterday. So there is a reward to winning yesterday's game before an off day. Now, does the pressure that this team has felt throughout the season to keep it up, right? They're 32 games over 500. They have a, I don't know if the Cubs won or lost last night, either 7 or 8 game lead in the division. 7.5 game lead in the division. They have built this up and built this up, and everybody's talking about them, right? Sports, they're on SportsCenter. They're on MLB Network. They're on the front page of ESPN.com. Will it translate to the postseason? That's the part that remains to be seen. But I think yesterday can at least give you a slight tinge of confidence that they have proven they can get over at least some sort of a qualifiable hump.
And I understand the skepticism. I really do. I understand the history of sports here in Wisconsin. I understand the history of Milwaukee Brewers and how, again, we talk about taking steps to success. But if you're buying that theory, the whole notion is that not this team specifically, but the organization has done this. They have taken steps to success. And this team, this iteration of your Milwaukee Brewers, Strofe, has really given you no reason to question their ability to handle the pressure and to be able to make a deep run in the postseason. That's what I would say, right? This reminds me of a Derrick Rose, why not me? Why can't I be the MVP? Why can't... That's the attitude I think Brewers fans and people across the state should be taking with this team. Why not them? Why can't they defy all logic? Because that's all that they have done this far. And this is where you and I agree. That if you try to apply traditional baseball logic to this team, you will lose immediately. Right? Because I keep hearing the people strophe. I keep hearing people say, oh, they're going to regress to the mean. They're going to fall back. They're going to come back down to earth. They can't keep this torrid pace up all season long. Look at me back there. He's like, what? Me? No, I'm busy doing my things. I am busy producing this morning. Good morning, Joshy.
Good morning. Yeah, I mean... They haven't lost in 12 games. Are they going to keep doing that? No.
Joshy.
Like, what?
Come on a minute. Wait a minute.
They're going to lose games. There's nobody here that's saying they're going to go undefeated the rest of the season.
I might.
It sounds like it.
What have they shown you? I mean, what have they shown you that they're ever going to lose again?
Well, the 40 losses that they had in the season.
I know. Obviously, there's a little tongue-in-cheek when I say that.
See, there's no more worse spot to put me in specifically right now than... I don't think the Brewers are going to keep winning 12 out of 12 games. And we're attributing it to divine intervention, to like
voodoo
magic.
Voodoo magic, yeah. Magic is real.
It's like, what's the way to put it? It's trying to tell kids things that they believe aren't true. No one wants to do that. They're great. They're good. They're the best team in baseball by the furthest imaginable amount you could ever fathom. They're so good, they're rewriting what young Brewers fans are going to think of this team moving forward.
Oh, and also think of like what can be accomplished by a baseball team. Right? Like, what do you mean you can't win at a 63% clip? What do you mean you can't win 70% of your games? What do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's where I think, like, again, I am encouraging people to rewire their brains. I know that as sports fans, your brain wants to tell you, like, hey, this could hit the skids real bad. Hey, they could have an X number game losing streak. Sure, but what I'm looking forward to is the way that they have been resilient all season long, and the way that they have, again, they have come back from a lot of deficits. And then yesterday, of course, it getting tight and being like, oh boy, is the pressure getting to them? Are they hearing the burger chants in the ballpark and everybody's starting to get a little, you know, tight and forget to just go out there, have fun and play ball? They have shown you that they defy logic. They have shown you that they are different than your traditional baseball team that wins at an X number of clip. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I'm saying, you know what's fun is going, I mean, I said to Joshy, they might lose 6 games this month. And I said that on August 1. And everybody was like, drunk. Jen's drunk at work again.
Yep.
Who let Jen drink the cough syrup this morning? But at this point, would that shock you, Strofe? If they only, again, 6 was the number I picked kind of out. I said, well, they might lose 1 in this series, maybe 1 in this series.
That requires them to go 9-6.
The rest of the way.
Yeah. Or something like that. I'm not staring at the schedule.
30 games this season, yeah. Or 30 games this month, rather.
Yeah, and they've played 13.
On this show, we just say, and the math.
And the math. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, because you know that's my strong suit, Josh, yes. Is the math.
Oh, saves.
Yeah.
All of us.
Regardless. I mean, 6 might be too many. I say it jokingly. But what we have seen the last 2.5 months is I'm not positive they're ever going to lose another baseball game in the rest of the franchise's history. They are just, it defies every logic. So, of course, they're going to lose games. And, of course, they might lose 6. And, of course, there might be a week where we go, oh, 2-5 this week. Darn. I missed when they were winning 12 in a row.
There
that was a lot more fun.
Be a week where we go, oh, 500?
Yeah, right.
500? Oh, they played 500 ball this week? Meh. Yeah. Because again, they are recalibrating what you think is possible from a Major League Baseball team. We got a lot of stuff to get to because I do want to continue breaking down, right? But a lot of theories, a lot of hypotheses. How are they doing it? That's the question they get asked on every single show. You mentioned MLB Network. You mentioned ESPN. You mentioned everybody. How are you doing this? How are you doing this, right? And the answer, it seems, guys, is a lot simpler than most people. They expect it to be some elaborate algorithm, you know, and we figured this out.
Right.
And we're tinkering here and here and here. And the answer has been really, really simple. So we will continue to break that down as the show goes on this morning. 800-990-3776. If you want to weigh in on your excitement level for the Milwaukee Brewers, obviously free burgers for everybody. Can I tell you this, Strofe? So I'm telling my daughters yesterday as we're watching the game, I got a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. And I said, you know, if the Brewers win this game, everybody gets free burgers. They really struggled with the concept of everybody. What do you mean everybody? Well, like everybody gets free burgers. And they were like, everybody like in Wisconsin, I said, well, anybody who goes to a George Webb restaurant, and they were like, well, what if you don't even like the Brewers? I was like, well, you know, maybe you do now.
You still get one.
Like, yeah, they were really struggling. They were like, even us? And I was like, yes, we are part of everybody. You know, like, this is how this works. The idea that everybody gets a free burger, the concept was really tough for them to comprehend. Like, when elsewhere in their young lives would everybody
That's a great point.
Get something, right? We always tell, life's not fair.
Well, Santa visits everybody.
That's true.
So you could compare it to that.
But some people get coal.
That's a good point. Nobody gets coal. Even if you're a Cubs fan, you can still go to George Webb.
You know, they ask that. They go, what if you live in Illinois? I said, well, if you drive up to a George Webb in, you know, the Milwaukee area.
How long did that conversation go?
Longer than I wanted it to.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, it sounds like that.
Like,
yeah.
To the point where it was like, hey, can we just watch the game? Hey, can we just watch the game? Can we have this conversation during commercial break?
Yeah, it went
break?
From adorable to annoyance real quick, I bet. Yeah.
800-990-3776.
Yeah, just kind of epitomized.
You're so cute. You're so sweet.
Okay, all right.
Stop talking. You sounded like Adam Sandler in a Big Daddy over there. All right. We have Jason Wilde coming up. We'll talk about the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, their preseason continues. You guys talked, I know, about Jordan Love earlier this week and the injury that he dealt with. Speaking of injuries, I got to tell you what I've been dealing with. That's all coming up this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
We welcome in Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. Are you as euphoric this morning as Alex Stroff and I are?
Probably not, no.
That adds up.
Look at the. Yeah, I appreciate the honesty.
He's got Brewers fever, though. He said it.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, this morning we are obviously celebrating the Brewers winning 12 in a row, and everybody, a concept that sort of escaped my 7-year-old and 5-year-old, everybody getting free George Webb's burgers, Jason.
Yeah, it is exciting. I'm excited to wear my George Webb t-shirt during Wilde and Tausch today. But yeah, I'm probably not as euphoric. Just it's a great story, and I'm happy, everybody's happy, and it was definitely cool that they got there, and that Alex Stroff and Will Summers did not put the whammy on it. So it was great, and I'm very excited for everyone to get their burgers from Georgie Boy.
What apparel don't you own? You own a George Webb t-shirt?
I do, yeah. It says George Webb predicts the Brewers will win 12 straight games this year.
Is that a Goodwill find?
It's got to be a vintage.
Is that a hand-me-down? What is that?
It's definitely, no, it's, I bought it. I mean, it's, as I mentioned it out yesterday, I'm going to wear it, but I don't know in terms of how effectively it's going to fit. I'm going to say that it's probably not the best look that I can have working for me, but nevertheless, because of the, as you called it, euphoria, I want to make sure that I'm doing my part. So I think we'll just make sure that the video feed from Wilde and Tausch doesn't go kind of below the midsection or toward the midsection.
Crop top.
It's going to be a little snug. Yeah, that'd be a good look, but then I'd lose most of the message. So it's going to be a delicate balance. I'm going to see if I can stretch it out a little bit.
Jason, ESPN.com put out the floors and ceilings for all of the teams in the NFL. The ceiling they predict for the Green Bay Packers is 12-5. The floor, they said, is 6-11. Does that feel about right to you?
Well, I mean, if they go 6-11, are these floors based on if they suffer some catastrophic injuries, or the team as it is constructed could still be bad enough to go 6-11.
You know, I think it's both. I think it's both. But what they point to, and it's a conversation that we've had a lot here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, is that the Packers ranked 17th in the NFL in pressures last season. Given they didn't add a significant pass rusher in free agency or early in the draft, it will be up to Jeff Hafley and perhaps new defensive line coach DeMarcus Covington to find a way to create pressure.
Yeah, look, they are definitely putting their eggs in the... We have a new defensive line coach. The guys are in the second year of the scheme. We're going to be able to get pressure. We believe in the guys we have. Lucas Van Ness, we drafted him where we did for a reason. He's going to go out there and be productive. He's healthy. I think they feel like the investments that they've made, that they're going to be more productive. And Jeff Hafley's got a better idea of how to free them up. So, I mean, I don't know if that's going to actually come to fruition or not. You know, I'm still, you know, I don't think Rashawn Gary's a bad player by any stretch, but he's definitely not the dominant player that the Packers want him to be or that he sees himself as, because dominant is consistently dominant, not like occasionally dominant. So he's got to play at a much higher level. They've got to get more out of Van Ness. You know, Kenny Clark is healthy, so him and Devontae Wyatt on the interior need to be more, generate more pressure and collapse more pockets. Kingsley Enagbare had a really good first preseason game. I thought he was one of the few bright spots. So him and some, you know, maybe some specific packages. And then it's clear that, and Hafley was evasive about this the other day, but it's clear that they have some special ideas for what they want to do with Edgerrin Cooper as a pass rusher. And judging from what he's been able to do in camp, you know, he's pretty effective as a blitzer. So I think they're going to want to try and find ways to get him involved in that. I think their pressure is going to be a lot better than 17th. But again, I think they've got the pieces to be a really good defense. But like Jeff Hafley said, you know, just because we had success last year, we can't just say, all right, here's the playbook. We're going to do all the exact same stuff. Because there were a lot of aspects where they weren't good enough.
Jason Wilde brought to us by our friends at Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. You mentioned Lucas Van Ness, and it sounds like he's been impressing at camp. I'm curious from your perspective, what has he added to his game or what has he changed that you've seen specifically that's made him pop off the page early in training camp?
He's able to use his hands.
That's good. Yeah, he, crucial part of what he does.
Broke his thumb last year, and it actually happened in OTAs, and so it was an issue all year long. And so they would only line him up on the right side, and he was not able to effectively hand fight, which is obviously, like you said, a big part of being successful as a pass rusher. Again, we haven't seen him a ton yet, right? We saw him for, I don't know, 20 some snaps maybe against the Jets. But you know, has he developed more of a power to speed or speed to power changeup where he can get offensive linemen off balance? He's like so many other guys on this team, which is why I'm not sure the floor is a lot higher than 6-11, going back to our earlier discussion, but I feel like it's higher than that. It's more like, you know, 7-10, 8-9. I could see them still finding a way to be sub 500 and miss the playoffs. But he's one of those dozen or so guys that we've talked about all offseason that we've seen flashes of how good they can be, but nothing close to consistency. And if they find a way to unlock that ability, him and Reed and Wicks and Love and all these other guys to be consistently good, as opposed to occasionally good, then they really might have something.
Jason Wilde hanging out with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Alex Strofe joining me alongside Josh DiMaggio. So one of the things we were discussing this morning is when we talk about the Milwaukee Brewers, Isaac Collins is a front runner for Rookie of the Year. And he is not alone. There are a bunch of other Brewers players who are also in the running for Rookie of the Year. So So there is obviously a intentional youth movement when it comes to the Milwaukee Brewers, similarly to our Green Bay Packers, who are projected to have the youngest roster in the NFL for 2025. That would mark the third consecutive year they would hold that distinction. Strofe and I were wondering, why do you think it's working for the Brewers this year? This idea of being young and really not knowing what you don't know and just going out there and having fun and chemistry and all of that stuff. And relatively speaking, it hasn't been working for the Packers, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I feel like it has worked, right? Like 2023.
Talk to me.
It undeniably worked. Like the Goody theory, whether you agree with it or not, is you have guys play through their growing pains. You live with them struggling in different ways in the first half of the season, and then believing that they come out the other side as not finished products, but certainly legit NFL football players. And with what they did in the second half of 23, I'll never forget asking Goody about this, and he said it just reinforced what he's always believed. So I would think that to some degree he was, you know, I don't want to say a prisoner because that's too strong, but like having Aaron Rodgers, and again, Aaron Rodgers won back-to-back MVPs, MVP 3 and MVP 4 during Goody's tenure here. But I think somewhere in the recesses of his brain, he always wanted to get to running the team this way because he's a huge believer in it philosophically. And so, last year, obviously, they improved in terms of their win total. They didn't get further in the playoffs. But I don't think we can't say that it worked. It has. Just hasn't worked to the degree that it's worked for the Brewers this year. But let's not lose sight of the fact that while they may end up with the youngest roster in the league for the third straight year, they may be young in terms of how old most of their guys are, but they are no longer inexperienced. And that's why the expectations have to be as high as they are and the demands have to be as high as they are. I mean, look at their draft class. But Golden's going to play. I don't know if he's going to be their number one wide receiver, but he's going to play. I think their plan, although Anthony Belton had a good first game, is for him to kind of take one of those patented offensive lineman redshirt years and then be a starter in 2026. Savion Williams, he's starting to have the same kind of a path as Marshawn Lloyd did last year as a third-round pick. You know, he dropped out of practice the other day again. He's had a concussion. He had off-season shoulder surgery, so you can't count on him to be a major contributor. Baron Sorrell, who was the story of the draft in Green Bay, really good kid, fourth round pick. I'm not sure he's going to be a huge impact on their pass rush. Colin Oliver still hasn't practiced. He had medical issues coming in that they knew about. And then the rest of the guys, you know, there's a sixth rounder and two seventh rounders who probably aren't going to play a lot either. So they're not counting on rookies. There aren't going to be, you know, other than Golden, I don't think there's going to be any rookie of the year candidates on this team. They got a lot of third and fourth year guys that are still 25, 24, 26 years old, but it is time, as Kevin Green would say. So yes, they're chronologically young, but experientially young, they're not.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one, and we will talk to you again very soon.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. So I did say relatively speaking when I was talking about the success rates. Does the Packers finishing third in the division last year feel like a success to you? And again, I'm sure that there are a million different ways that people are going to want to split this hair. Oh, Jordan Love was injured. The wide receivers dropped balls, whatever. Yep. But all I'm saying is from a youth standpoint, maybe some of those things like the dropping of the balls is a youth thing.
Correct.
Like you looking at the Brewers versus the Packers, if the agenda is, and I think the Brewers have to do this, right? It's not necessarily that they want to, but they have to sort of be a young team, one of the younger teams in Major League Baseball. these guys seem to be answering the call. You're not seeing errors, right? There's been a lot of talk about the statistics and how well these guys are playing for as young as they are, for the lack of experience that they have in the majors. All I'm saying is on the Packers side, you haven't seen the same level of dividends. Have you?
No, and I think to Jason's point, though, 2023, it worked, right? You win a playoff game. You are on fire, as hot as any team, similarly to the Brewers. In the second half of that season, you go to Dallas, you beat the two seed, you're hanging in there with the eventual NFC champions. 2023, it worked. But then 2024 came with something that's a little scary when you're the youngest team in the league. Expectations. I don't know if they reached them. 11 wins is good. That's an improvement from the season prior. But to your point, they were the third best team in the division. They were first round exit. That's an earlier exit than the year prior. So it is time this season to prove it, because if this is going to work the way Brian Gutekunst has drawn it up,
this youth movement.
Because you're going to be the youngest team in the league again. But you've got to make a run this year, right? I think anything short of an NFC championship means it is not working the way he drew it up.
So it sounds like we can hold off judgment. Let's reserve judgment for whether or not the youth movement in Green Bay is quote unquote working. And I hope that people can recognize the nuance there.
But it hasn't worked as well as the expectation was, right? Because that word is what I get hung up on. Because 2023, there was no expectation. The one thing you wanted to figure out in 2023 was, is Jordan Love the guy? He answered that question. The answer was yes. They paid him last offseason. So now you had, at least for a moment, I don't think it's the case anymore, you had the highest paid quarterback in football. You had the youngest roster in the league. You're coming off of an exit from the postseason in a game you probably should have won against the San Francisco 49ers, who ended up representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. So last year was all about, okay, how do they top what they did last year? And frankly, other than increasing their win total by one, they didn't. Because to your point, I think third in the division is never going to be viewed as a success, no matter how good your division is. And the NFC North, bar none, was the best division in football in 2024 and has a very good case of being the best division in football again in 2025.
Well, but you need AFC, is it West?
AFC West, yeah, could be good. AFC North could be good.
Challenge that.
There's obviously other good divisions in football. I agree with you. And I'm high on the Raiders in the AFC West. I mean, that could be a four-team race. But I mean... the Bears could be improved. The Vikings could be as good as they were last year, depending on J.J. McCarthy. It's going to be a tough division. But if you want to qualify the youth movement as working, to use the word you used, you got to be in the division race. You got to be right up there with Detroit and gunning for 12, 13 wins and beating good teams on your schedule, which was something they struggled with last year.
Take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to. We will still continue talking about your Milwaukee Brewers, obviously Green Bay Packers with a game this weekend as well, but want to get to this. We have enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help with our home projects. As you might know, my husband and I, we can handle a lot. Boy, did we have water in our basement this past week. I'm sure a lot of people did. So we're going to be calling our friends over at Professional Construction Inc. to help us with some of the, you know, damage that we had to our basement. We're going to have to get those floorboards ripped out. We're going to have to get them to come out and take care of it for us. But we trust no one more than the folks over at PCI. They've been doing it for 20 years, and you only do that if you're doing exceptional work on everyone's projects. Learn more about PCI. See their work at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. It's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj. Who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of right tackle.
I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Keep getting us your reaction this morning on the Milwaukee Brewers winning 12 in a row, having the best record in baseball. It's funny because on the MLB site, they always put last 10. You know, how have you done in the last 10 games?
Yeah.
Well, the Brewers have been 10-0 now for 3 days.
That's correct. Yeah. And looking at all the teams beneath them, it's like normal records, right? 6-4, 7-3 is really good. 5-5.
Well, I do want to mention that because I looked up, as we were discussing, what's normal, right? A word I really hate, but like it works in sports and it works for like trends.
You hate the word normal?
Yeah, because what is normal?
Well, from like a personality standpoint, I don't think that exists. And right? You and I are certainly very far from whatever that is.
Totally.
Josh, you might be a little normal.
I hope to be.
I just, who is anybody to determine what the parameters of normal are, right? Like I'm saying across the board. In sports, I'm saying there it's are numbers that are quote-unquote normal. So if you go back and look at the regular season record for playoff teams over the last 5 years, would you be shocked to learn that they are just below 60? Major League Baseball, would you be shocked to learn that the average of playoff teams over the last 5 years, their winning percentage is just below 60%. That's what we're talking about when we talk about normal performances by Major League Baseball teams. And that's why when we talk about the Milwaukee Brewers and what they have done and their 63.3 clip for the season, right? Remember, they started out dog crap.
Yeah, they were 0-4 and getting, I mean, they were getting ran up.
And I see a ton of people in the YouTube stream, and I see it all over Twitter, always talking about the run differential and where the Brewers rank in run differential. Obviously, they are atop the league now in run differential, plus 159, which is just an absurd number. I remember vividly times where we have talked about the Milwaukee Brewers doing well, having a winning record, and having a negative run differential, right? That it doesn't feel like it was that far, that long ago that we were talking about the Milwaukee Brewers in those terms. And people keep reminding us that like they were negative 30 something for the first stretch of the season, right? So just look at all the ground that they have made up. And what I'm trying to say is like the clip that they have been operating at is rewiring my brain to say, and again, maybe they will regress to the mean. And by the end of the season's trophy, we will be looking at a team that is in fact just below 60% and a playoff team. Mm-hmm. But like the clip that they are obviously operating at right now is far and away above that.
Well, because 100%, yes.
Because the record is for the whole season, including early on when they weren't winning at this clip. Mm-hmm. So I just, again, want to remind everybody like that this is unprecedented. What we are seeing is something that defies all logic.
Well, I think you can take the George Webb thing for what it is. It's happened three times ever, and this is only the second time it's ever happened in the regular season. In 2018, that 12-game win streak leaked into the postseason. They still went ahead and honored the George Webb prediction from all those decades ago. But it's only happened three times in franchise history. This has tied the longest winning streak in franchise history. They have the opportunity to break that tomorrow when they return to action. So, yes, it's completely absurd. It's unheard of. And for this to be their second 11-game or now 12-game winning streak, but second 11-game-plus winning streak in just over 3 weeks, you saw the stat, right? There's been the last time there was two 11-game-plus winning streaks in the National League was 1935. 90 years ago. That's how absurd what we're witnessing is. So I know everybody's got, I think we call the Brewers fever with Jason Wilde, but rightfully so, because you're likely never going to see something like this again, no matter how good they are for the coming years, being as young as they are and likely having a lot of these guys under contract for the foreseeable future. They should be a competitive team for years to come, but they might never do what they're doing right now ever again, because it's completely unheard of.
So you have a theory, a conspiracy theory, if you will.
Oh, boy.
Yesterday, you posted on social media, jinxes aren't real, but magic is.
I did say that, yes.
No, it's not.
What do you mean?
Magic?
Have you heard of David Copperfield?
Yeah, and it's all smoke and mirrors.
You heard of Harry Houdini?
Yeah, again, you can go online. I can watch a YouTube tutorial on how all of those magicians do their tricks. There's no such thing as magic. So do you want to explain yourself here? You want to explain how you can justify this idea that jinxes aren't real, which is sort of like a voodoo, you know, hex sort of thing.
Well, that's what I was trying to prove with the George Webb thing is, you know, despite the death threats and the many people that called me an idiot.
well, hold on.
Well, the latter part might be true.
Thank you.
I might be an idiot, but I am not a believer in jinxes. Just because you wear your lucky underwear on Sunday doesn't mean the Packers are going to win, okay? So jinxes are not real. However, I believe we are witnessing dark voodoo magic or divine intervention at some degree, because as we continue to say, there are no words to describe what the Milwaukee Brewers are doing. Now,
So when something doesn't make sense, do you automatically go
chalk it up to magic? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, chalk it up to magic.
this is your defense. This is like, hey, I don't understand.
What's your
this.
Explanation? You got a better one than Magic?
So, yes, I think, to be perfectly honest with you, I think chalking the Brewers' success up to Magic, my friend, is actually insulting to the Brewers.
Is it?
It's insulting to the players. It's insulting to Murph. It's insulting to the front office.
Well, hold on a minute, though, because we talked about this. Every time they're asked, how are you doing this? It seems that their answer is, quote, the power of friendship. That's Magic.
No, that's friendship.
So when I play,
that's chemistry. That's what that is.
When I play pickleball, believe it or not, sometimes I do athletics for leisure.
Could you not force me to have that mental image in my brain?
I have people. Ben Brust will back me up. I actually don't stink at pickleball. But when you hit, so
that's
why. If you're playing duos, he has on the air. He said it many times.
He has pantomimed what it looks like.
I don't
when
know what
you,
that means.
Pantomimed?
What the hell does that mean?
Acted out, charades, pantomime.
God, you're smart.
He's
working out of my
he's
IQ
made fun of you
this,
for
this
it.
Morning.
How, if the ball falls in front of you, it's a hard time for you getting
there. There's no way after watching you do the 40 and watching you do the 3-cone drill that you are good at pickleball.
I'm very lanky, so that helps me. But anyway, when you're playing duos.
Moving quick past that. Well,
if it comes behind me, I got a long arm span. Anyway, so when you're playing at the net, and you and your teammate paddles touch and you get the ball over, we call that the power of friendship. But I don't believe that we just happen to move at the same speed and the physics constantly work out that our paddles intertwine. I believe that's magic.
No, that's called a coincidence.
But it happens too often to be a coincidence.
In what world? Who says?
This world, the one we operate in, the one we live in.
So how often do things have to happen in order for you to be like, boom, coincidence?
Well, coincidence would be it happens once or twice. If it happens consistently where you're like, what the hell's going on here?
That's magic.
Magic, Jen.
Oh, my
goodness. Magic. You're starting to see where I'm coming from. It's starting to make sense for you.
What you're describing, Strofe, is
magic.
Chemistry. This is chemistry. You and your teammate have chemistry. You
yes.
know their tendencies. They know your tendencies. You know their strengths. They know your
Hand
weaknesses.
Up. I have an admission. I got a D-minus in chemistry in high school, so I never really understood it all that well. Magic.
Probably
you know, when I mixed
you thought magic was happening.
You know, like, your kids have probably
Chemical
done this.
Chemical reactions are magic.
So let me talk about that for a moment. You know, your kids have probably done this, Jen, where you have to make the volcano with baking soda, I think it is.
Of course.
And it's like,
vinegar
whew.
And baking soda.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a chemical reaction.
Magic. I mean, when you...
to be honest with you, this explains so much, honestly.
Okay,
like,
this is what I've been dealing with on Mr. Irrelevant for the past better part of 3 months.
What do you mean?
Try and say, like, well, it could be X, Y, and Z, and he goes, magic, and you go, all
but
right,
why?
Well,
Hold
I guess...
Hold on a minute. This is what irritates me about the people... You know, here's what I'm going to say. This is what irritates me about the attitude of America, okay?
Now it's America's problem. All right, I'm listening.
Here we go. Is it cancel culture?
No, not that I cancel culture. I might get canceled. No, I won't. I just think we need to just enjoy life a little bit more.
Uh-huh,
I say
sure,
often
sure.
on our afternoon program, Kyle Brust and Nortman, wonderfully produced program, the world needs more love, right? And when we are witnessing what we're witnessing with our favorite team, the Milwaukee Brewers, I don't view it as insulting when I say they're on a magical run.
No. That's nuance. That's different.
You ever watch Aladdin?
Of course I do. I have children. But a magical run is different than explaining their success by saying magic. What mm-hmm. we have here is some damn good athletes, a fantastic manager, right? Like, we have a front office that recognizes talent at a clip, I think, better than, more efficient than most other managers in the league, operating in an unfair system. All of those things are how I explain. And again, prioritizing chemistry and friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And because we know, I mean, coaches, I work with coaches all the time in college football. We know that the more you get along, the better you get along, the more you invest in the guy standing next to you, the more willing you are to be selfless in a team sport. Like, all of that is documented. People know that contributes to success. That is the secret sauce. It's not magic. And sitting here saying that, like, somebody sprinkled pixie dust or euchre dust over this team is insulting to the team.
So I agree with everything you said. I think there are levels and variables of how good they are and how consistent they are. But the other variable, Jen? Joshy, the other variable? Magic. Enjoy the magic carpet ride, because we are flying it. an unbelievable pace right now. Boy, am I having fun.
Did he do mushrooms this morning or what? Like, honestly, this is
We're
wild.
Sending him for a drug test after the show.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did he do mushrooms?
I mean, the way you just spit that out there, it was very like, oh, ayahuasca much? Take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Simplify your everyday banking with Great Midwest Bank. Just like I did, you can open up a checking or a savings account today and experience friendly, simply local service plus competitive rates. Best of both worlds. Great Midwest Bank even offers 24/7 online mobile banking. Whether it's noon on a Tuesday or Saturday night at 11 o'clock, you can always access your accounts. And when you need assistance, there are real people helping your real needs. Great Midwest Bank is simply local and a member FDIC.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense,
why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid, and we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart?
This is for you, Stro.
I'm a believer.
You believe in magic.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, do not believe that magic
a little
is
cynical
contributing.
Now.
No, not at all. Again, I'm trying to give credit where credit is due, which is to the organization, to the players. Heck, I'll even give some credit to the fan base for coming out in droves, for supporting this team, for making them feel like they have a real home field advantage. But magic? Pixie dust? Again, could Uecker and his influence be inspiring
driving motivator?
Could it be every day Christian Yelich goes out to the diamond and he thinks of his buddy Uke and he thinks like, I'm going to be my best today and I'm going to do it for Uke. Yes! That is not magic! Okay? And I think that, again, I understand a magical run. I also have used that term. I think that is appropriate.
That's because you like magic.
But I don't think magic is involved. I don't think there's some sort of like mystical spell that has been cast on this Brewers team that is leading to their success.
I have a confession to make.
Yeah.
Another one. I tried to learn a magic trick last night
because
I was going to come in and do one for you.
Uh-huh.
Didn't go well.
Well, I'm shocked.
It was just a little card trick.
I mean, it's like a hand thing, right?
Well,
like,
here's the issue is I don't know how to shuffle. So we were already
Again,
off to a rocky
this
start.
This shocks not a single human being listening to this program. Put it on the poll. Are you surprised Alex Strofe doesn't know how to shuffle?
It seems like you wouldn't have the dexterity for something like
Correct.
That.
Correct.
Well, that's insulting.
And we're talking about shuffling cards, not shuffling his feet. Because to be fair, all you did was shuffle your feet during that three-card
drill. That seemed unnecessary. Hey. Come on. Thought we were having fun this morning.
It was a good
morning.
Play on words, though, wasn't it? Yeah, we're talking about shuffling cards.
Yeah, you're a creative individual. I'll give you credit on that one.
We'll put it on the Jen Game and Chewy Twitter poll this morning, the Infinity Exteriors poll this morning, in addition to, are you shocked that Alex Strofe cannot shuffle a deck of cards? Do you believe in magic?
Yeah, you just use the song title, yeah.
I feel like we need to be specific to the Milwaukee Brewers and this run that they are on. Every day it appears that the Milwaukee Brewers are breaking ground, setting new records. I have a list in my phone that I update daily with each of the guys, right? You got Bryce Terang, you got Isaac Collins, you got all of these dudes, Joey Ortiz, who had a heck of a day yesterday. I believe there was only one guy in the Brewers lineup who didn't get a hit yesterday.
It was Bryce Terang, yeah.
And he had the hitting streak going, didn't
Correct,
he? So that
yeah,
ended
yeah.
the streak, yeah. So that is how incredible all of this has been. But genuinely speaking, I think it's chemistry. I think it's a young team. They don't know what they don't know. They don't have past experiences of this is what it feels like when you underperform and you're scared of that boogeyman. And we've got Murph, who I know I've talked about this before, but like obviously had a ton of experience in college ball. So similar age, young guys, you know, getting them to maximize their potential. There's something about the way he manages and the way he gets everybody pulling the cart in the same direction. No egos, right? There was that whole thing of the checks. He's handing out checks. If he feels like, check yourself. Like, there's something about all of that that is contributing in a major way to the reason this team is succeeding. I'm willing to point to that type of stuff.
And all right. Jokes and psychedelics aside.
Thank you.
I mean, there are so many factors, and I think the guy that deserves the most credit in the world is, to your point, Pat Murphy. I mean, the guy is truly an incredible manager. And to go back to the conversation we were having earlier with Jason on the youth movement that we might get back to here in the second hour is the difference between the Packers and Brewers youth movement is, I think one has a better coach, and that's the Milwaukee Brewers. I use this analogy, and I'm not sure if it worked, but I'm going to try it again. I'm going to workshop it with you yesterday on the Homer Hour. But you know, like when your friend is dating somebody, and then they break up, and then they're dating somebody new, and you go, "Oof, that's a downgrade," right? I feel like that's how the people viewed the Brewers last year. They go from this, you know, this former player, great manager, smart
local guy,
right? Like he checks all the boxes of like a dream manager, and they lose him to the rival. They lose him to the best friend.
Who had unprecedented success, right?
Correct.
Like, let's not sit here and act like, you know, he was a schlup.
But then the new manager is like, he's like this overweight guy who pulls out pocket snacks and kind of has a weird sense of humor and has coaching baseball for dummies sitting on his desk. And I think prior to last season, a lot of people went, whew, that's a downgrade. And all of a sudden, a year and a half later, we're like, oh my God, the Brewers found their dream man. They found the cover of GQ model, right? And Pat Murphy has blown all the expectations out of the water. And I think that the best point to make is, I think Craig Counsell had the best bench coach in baseball. And maybe we just didn't realize that because he was the figurehead. He was the manager of the Brewers for all those years. And Pat Murphy has blown every expectation out of the water. I mean, that's the stat I can't get over when I brought it before. The two 11-game winning streaks. It's the first time in the National League since 1935. I mean, that's like before people's grandparents were born. That's 90 years ago. Just ridiculous. And yes, do I truly believe in magic? Well, yes, I do. But nice, Joshy. Is this magic? Yes, but also they're just a damn good baseball team.
Take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on, second hour coming your way right after this.